This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. A word of warning in advance. The next conversation features some very adult talk about sexual subjects. It is not suitable for all listeners. Yesterday was World AIDS Day. 2013 has seen some major progress and some warning signs, too, in the ongoing fight against the killer disease. Dr. Carlos Del Rio is the Hubert Professor and Chair of the Department of Global Health at the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory University, where he's also a professor of medicine in the Division of Infectious Diseases at the Emory School of Medicine. Dr. Del Rio, welcome back. Good to have you.
It's good to be with you.
The CDC came out with some numbers just recently that talked about a fairly significant increase in the number of gay men who are having unprotected anal sex. Certainly, we don't want to go back to the days where HIV/AIDS was looked at as just a gay disease. But why are those numbers in that community so concerning?
Well, unfortunately, Dennis, the epidemic is very different in every community. And while globally the epidemic is mostly a heterosexual epidemic, here in the U.S., the epidemic is disproportionately an epidemic affecting men who have sex with men. And while there are heterosexual transmission and there are women who are infected, the infection rates among gay men, and particularly young gay men, and in particular young gay men of color, are incredibly high. So I think that we need to really target more of our prevention efforts to gay and bisexual men in this country. And we really need to address this not only through issues related to sexual health, but also it's something very important to address as a health equity issue. The infection rate is really very high in, as I said, in gay men. Just to give you an idea, gay and bisexual men make about 2% of the U.S. general population, and they make about 65% of the roughly 50,000 new HIV diagnoses in this country. So again, something that we really need to focus on as we are addressing the epidemic locally.
Is the problem here in Metro Atlanta and in the U.S. one of complacency, one of simply forgetting what happened to a previous generation? Are we making so much progress in treatment that we're forgetting prevention? Is it any of those things?
I think it's not one in particular. It's a combination of many of them. Clearly, the early years of the epidemic are over, in which there was panic and people were dying. There was not much to do for them. There is also AIDS has dropped out of the radar screen. I say that AIDS is forgotten but not gone. It's still very much an active problem in our country. It also has become a disease that primarily affects minorities, and it also a disease that is disproportionately affects the poor. So I think, again, when you have the combination of poverty, sexual minorities, and a stigmatizing disease, you really don't have a disease that has a lot of attention or support in the media or among our politicians. So I think we really need to re-energize our prevention efforts. I think this is, as you say, this is World AIDS Day. World AIDS Day, it's a very important time to think about all we have done in this struggle, and how we have been able to confront what I think were insurmountable challenges from scientific and from a social standpoint. The fact also, as a global community, we've been able to create an incredible North-South solidarity movement that now has over 8 million people around the globe on therapy. So I really think that equity, justice is possible, but there's a lot that still needs to be done. And I think addressing issues of the viral infection are important, but we also need to address issues of poverty, of injustice, of stigma, of discrimination, which are really the major causes of why this virus still continues to spread in our communities.
In terms of prevention, you mentioned this a little bit already, but what can we do now, particularly here in Atlanta, to step up the prevention efforts, particularly among the communities where we're seeing the biggest increases?
Well, I think the first thing is that everybody between the ages of 18 and 64 should be tested for HIV. If you're sexually active, you need to be tested for HIV at least once in your life. So if you haven't been tested for HIV, this week is as good as any week to go and get your HIV test, because the major entry point into prevention or care services is testing. We're still in this country and around the world continue to diagnose people very late in their disease process, and diagnosing people earlier and starting them on therapy earlier is going to be critical in decreasing transmission. So testing is the first thing. We should not be afraid of it. The second thing is we need to talk about it. It's very important that we mention HIV in our conversations, that we bring this in our discussions with our peers, with our friends, with our children, and are not afraid of the conversation about HIV and about, you know, sexual health in general, talking about safe sex, what is safe sex, talking about making easily accessible the information, making condoms easily accessible, I think are important components. And then it's very important that we work closely with community-based organizations that are heavily involved in their communities to really get them to address this at the community level. I think this is something that really needs to be done at the grassroots level. We need to go to the, you know, the community, to people that trust each other, and get them to get involved in making AIDS a priority. But we also need to get our leaders. I mean, if you ask me here in Atlanta, my dream would be that, you know, our mayor, Kasim Reed, will say something about HIV. This is something that affects the African-American community. I would love to see some of our sport leaders, some of our community, you know, big figures to really address this and take it head on. We cannot just continue to sweep it under the rug and hide it. It's a true problem. It's a problem in our community. Georgia is one of the states with the highest rates of HIV. Atlanta is one of the cities with the highest rates of HIV. So we cannot continue to ignore it. We really have to confront it.
You mentioned the community-based organizations as one way of approaching prevention or increasing prevention education, but many of those are struggling with funding themselves. Are they able to carry the load here?
I think we're in tough times. I think everybody's struggling for funds, whether it's community-based organizations or the CDC or universities. I think we need to prioritize, right? And we need to see where should our priorities be and how do we make sure that we are not forgetting what our priorities are. And we really address them. I think that money invested in prevention goes a long way in preventing having to treat people long-term down the line. So whatever we can do to increase prevention will benefit significantly down the road.
You mentioned testing, more universal testing, as a way of making sure that we know earlier who might be infected. And that, I think, is part of the problem behind the increase in numbers that we talked about earlier, because a lot of folks simply don't know that they're infected. But would you go so far as to say there ought to be some sort of mandate somewhere for sexually active people?
You know, there's not a mandate. I don't like to talk about mandates. I think there's recommendations. The CDC in 2006 issued a recommendation that everybody who encounters the healthcare system in those ages ought to be tested. Recently, the United States Preventive Services Task Force issued the same recommendation. So I think we as physicians and providers should see testing as part of the quality, just like I make sure that my patients have their, glucose monitor or know their cholesterol or know, you know, other things that are important to know in your health maintenance, getting your blood pressure checked. I think people should also know their HIV status. Knowing where you stand, knowing what your HIV status is very important in this day and age. And not knowing what your HIV status is something that, you know, should not be allowed. Unfortunately, we continue to see people who have encountered our healthcare system, and there's been missed opportunities to test them. So I think that it's not a mandate, it's simply a recommendation. And people should, frankly, talk to their providers and say, hey, I haven't had an HIV test. Just the same way that somebody can come up and say, hey, you know, I haven't had my cholesterol checked. How about getting it checked?
One of the encouraging signs, though, has been the development of the antiretroviral drugs that are used now in treatment. Has that been a double-edged sword, though, in the sense that perhaps men who are infected are now able to live longer, have a higher quality of life, but they also are able to stay active sexually and might not tell their partners that they're infected?
Well, you know, antiretroviral drugs have been tremendous and have really changed the lives of many people, millions of people, not only here in this country, but around the world. And we cannot minimize how critical therapy has been in HIV care. But one of the things that we also have achieved with drug therapy is that in a recent study that was published about a year ago, probably one of the most important landmark studies over the last 5 years, it showed that treating people and bringing their viral load with treatment to an undetectable levels dramatically decreases the risk of them transmitting to their partners. It decreases by close to 96% their possibility of them transmitting HIV. So if we diagnose people who are infected, we get them on therapy, and we are able to keep them on therapy and with a suppressed viral load, we would be able to stop this epidemic. That is called treatment as prevention. And really, it's why prevention and treatment are not two separate things anymore. When I'm seeing patients and I'm providing them an antiretroviral therapy, not only am I giving them life-saving medication, I'm also making them non-infectious and not capable of transmitting the disease, so the infection. So again, treatment is prevention, and that's why I say that getting people diagnosed early and getting them into therapy and keeping them on therapy is a critical component of our HIV prevention efforts.
As far as Atlanta itself, what trends are you seeing here?
We see primarily an epidemic affecting men who have sex with men, primarily young men who have sex with men. It's a real serious epidemic. It's an important epidemic, and it's something that we need to address. And we have the ways to do it. We have the ways to do it effectively in our community. We simply need to bring everybody to work together. And I would say that there's been progress made in that direction. The Department of Health, the counties, the academic institutions, the NGOs are all beginning to work together because we really need a coordinated and multi-sectorial response to address this epidemic. And I think we can do it. I have no doubts we can. We have the tools. We have the knowledge. In spite of the, quote, what we call limited resources, we must not forget that our resources are infinitely more than in most of the heavily affected places around the world.
Is the increase that we're seeing in some places around the world starting to spread back to the developed world where we have perhaps not been as aware as we were a few years ago?
I don't think so. I think we're able to maintain our own epidemic here. We don't need anybody to help us. Unfortunately, as I said, we continue to diagnose people very late in this country. About 20% of people infected in this country don't know they're infected. Of those that know they're infected, only about 70 to 80% are actually in care. And of those that enter care, many dropped out of care. So in the best of circumstances, we estimate that maybe 1 in 4 to 1 in 5 people infected with HIV in this country actually have their virus controlled with antiretroviral therapy.
So with the treatment, are we looking at a disease that can be cured at this point? Are we far away from a cure, or are we pretty much looking at still managing a disease, just managing it better than we've been able to before?
Well, it's more than managing. We're really able to suppress this virus to, if somebody is diagnosed today at an early stage, you get them on therapy, and they take their therapy regularly, we can essentially say that that person is not going to die from HIV. They'll die from something else. So they can virtually have a life identical to somebody who's not infected. So we're talking about not only managing, it's really making HIV almost not be an issue for that individual. But where we're not curing the disease, that person will need to be on therapy, at least for now, for the rest of their life. So that may change in the next 5 or 10 years. I mean, the two most exciting areas of research right now are, number one, the area of cure and eradication of HIV. There's a lot of very smart people working on that. And the other is the area of vaccine development. I think the things that will change this epidemic in the long term and eventually will make this epidemic disappear will be the development of a vaccine and the development of strategies to cure those that are already infected.
In the meantime, are you seeing folks who might be getting complacent because of the progress that's been made in suppressing the disease to the point where they think,
I think there's a lot of complacency out there. And it's not only complacency from individuals, it's complacency from politicians, it's complacency from at different levels. Complacency, unfortunately, has been a big problem in this epidemic. People, as I said, think that it's no longer a problem. But as people are beginning their sexual life, it is very important that they have the knowledge necessary to prevent them from getting infected. I think every time I see somebody who's newly infected with HIV in this country today, I see that as a failure of our public health system, of our educational system, because we should be able to prevent those infections.
Dr. Carlos Del Rio is a professor of global health and medicine at Emory University. Dr. Del Rio, thanks so much for being with us again, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. It's great talking to you, and thanks for doing this. Again, increasing awareness is something that is very important, and you guys are doing a great job doing that.